And now, it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray with Corey Sandin in here. Rock Cod Rick's taking a little time off after the big day yesterday for Tackle Day.
Busy day.
We have a great show for you today. Mr. Surf Fishing himself, Bill Barney, is here. We're going to be talking fishing, surfing, fishing, and all kinds of good stuff. You stay tuned. This is Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app, YouTube, Facebook Live, and 97.3 The Fan. Take a closer look at the Ford F-150. You'll see hard work, a great adventure, and so much more. Inside and out, it's designed for the family, the road trip, and the most demanding job. The 2025 Ford F-150, whether it's gas, hybrid, or the all-electric Lightning, find the truck that will meet your needs. From California's best-selling truck brand, the 2025 Super Duty, the rugged Ford Ranger, and the versatile Ford Maverick, it's time to see Ford in a new light. Visit your San Diego County Ford dealer today to see the great selection across the full truck lineup.
Introducing new PowerPro Max 8 Microfilament Braided Fishing Line. It's built for offshore anglers seeking smooth casting and control. PowerPro Max 8 features an 8-carrier Spectra HT construction that cuts through current with ease for precise vertical jigging with a 25% thinner diameter. Available in white and metered, 4-color for trolling spread control and precise jigging depths. It's stronger, smoother, and thinner. PowerPro Max 8 is now available at your tackle retailer.
The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. Our hardworking crew will make your fishing experience one to remember. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet is second to none. Fisherman's Landing is a full-service sport fishing operation offering great half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day trips on the spacious and comfortable 85-foot Liberty. With bunks for your comfort, a huge bait capacity, and RSW fish holds to keep your catch fresh. Fisherman's Landing also boasts the best captains and crews in the business, from seasoned veterans to our young future legends. All our open party trips from half-day, full, or 1 to 3 day trips can be easily booked online at fishermanslanding.com or give us a call at 619-221-8500. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Hookup!
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and fun show today, man.
Yeah, really fun. Yeah, big day yesterday, right? You were selling baits like that twin tail.
Oh, the
flukes like crazy.
Yeah, that's
the resurgence of the old bait.
It's so crazy, man. Lead heading a slug style lure is the deal now. Like sea bass, halibut, rockfish,
everything.
Calico. I mean, everything eats them. You know, from and the cool thing is to understand that same concept with a 7-inch, all the way down to a 4-inch for bay fishing.
No kidding.
Yeah, so that's wrap your mind. It'd work on largemouth, too.
Yeah.
It does.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, fluke-style lures, you know?
So why'd it go away?
Absolutely.
I think it's something like Bill can understand. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
Yeah, appreciate you being in the studio.
Thank you, Gary.
It's a technique that is difficult to explain,
mm-hmm.
but it is extremely fishy. And once you understand and you get bit, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's difficult to convey without the production and catching. Once you start catching, that's why the Channel Islands. I mean, we don't need to talk about the whole slug thing, but it's just.
No.
Let's talk about the slug thing more. I've things to say about the slug thing.
Yeah.
You know, Corey, I do a report every week on surf fishing, and I get dozens of reports from people. I get texts, I get emails, I talk to tackle shops, all that stuff. And up and down the coast, when we talk about halibut fishing, this summer in particular, there have been so many halibut and white sea bass caught on white slugs, white swim baits.
Or flukes. I mean, it could,
white flukes.
There's so many national brands that make a fluke. You know what I mean? From whatever, Bass Assassin, Strike King. There's 20 brands that make it. They work.
They're not hand-poured in Corey's garage.
Yeah, that's right.
With smelty colors. I mean, that's right. Kind of the cool part. Right?
But, you know, Corey, what I've learned is a buddy of mine is a diver. He doesn't fish at all. He's a big diver. He's like the massive halibut diver. I've never known anybody who's got so many halibut in his life, spearfishing, diving. And so he takes videos and some pictures of when he goes down and goes halibut fishing. And he says, Bill, knowing nothing about fishing, says, every time I go down and I see the eggs of squid, which attach often to pieces of kelp, rock, the bottom, anywhere around those areas. And those are like tubes. They almost look like the slug.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, he says, I will always find halibut and big ones around there.
Oh. So do the halibut eat those eggs?
They eat those eggs. The halibut eat those eggs, and they congregate near those eggs, and they eat, they digest, they go back and eat them again. And he said most of the time he sees the halibut moving at these, you know, neap tide periods where it's either peak high tide or peak low tide where there's very little current in there, and then they'll go feed on those eggs, and then they'll go back to their sand area and bury themselves. So there's no question that the white fluke, the white swim bait, the white hand pour bait, all of those work, and that's why.
But along with surf fishing, which is your forte, Bill, is grunion.
And,
and so with a fluke and that, I even made a drop shot bait 20 years ago, Pete. Wrap your mind around 20 years ago. Actually named it the drop shot bait for drop shotting halibut.
Before drop
the
shot
surf.
Was even a thing.
It really was not. No. Berkeley picked it up and ran nationally with it, right?
Right.
At that time. I mean, we're talking seriously, 18, 20 years ago. And so that drop shot bait I made 20 years ago has come full circle. It's a badass looking little bait fish lure. It's a full bodied with a tail, but the fluke tails are laying like they would flat on the table. But but the drop shot bait has the tail vertical. Like a live bait.
And you still pour those.
Dude, I brought them.
Yeah.
I sold a ton of them. Because it's the same, it's a 5-inch lure. It's the same pattern.
And drop shot works great in the bay.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. In the surf. I mean, that's what we talked.
Surf, bay, off the rocks, pier. I mean.
We talked a lot about it yesterday. And so
how big of a sinker are you putting on the bottom?
Well, I don't. It's almost difficult to discuss because you won't wrap your mind around it. I'm going to shock you. You're sitting down. That's a good thing. I use 20-pound braid, Power Pro, straight to the hook. Which is super light. I never tie braid straight to the hook with anything, nothing. But that I do because I'm using a 5-aught hook, a pretty sizable hook. It's almost a gaff hook. So, and typically the
long shank.
Long shanked hook. And for a sinker line, 24 inch or so or better, you know, 2 feet or better. Because think of the geometry of your cast.
You're at an angle.
At 3 feet of water, you know, at a cast length. And you want your offering 12 inches off the bottom, right? So it's pretty long. I mean, it could be 3 feet, but that would be on the long end. 1-ounce torpedo.
Whoa.
Yes.
Wow.
I know. It's kind of a shocker. But
and a chrome torpedo, if you can find
it. Well, you could, right?
Are you using mono to connect the bait to the sinker so it breaks away?
Yes.
Okay.
And the vertical eye is super important because you want everything to be up and down vertically clean. So that your main line tied to the hook and your sinker line tied to the hook are all in line.
So a vertical eye, meaning not the standard flat eye to the bottom.
Look at the Gamakatsu Superline swim bait hook.
Yeah.
And that's a vertical up and down
eye.
Now, the 1-ounce torpedo is only for your anchor. So you can twitch and work the bait in the zone without moving the sinker.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
That's why the sinker has to be so heavy versus like a quarter ounce.
Yeah, or half
because
ounce.
Because it accesses that anchor.
Because you're not moving it.
Yes, and half ounce would be.
And it's allowing you to twitch your bait without pulling it along at the same time.
It's a deadly surf technique. Deadly.
Yeah. And we're not supposed to tell all these tricks and
why not?
Well, the hard bait thing, and Bill can convey this whole thing too. The hard bait. Hard jerk bait in the surf has become like the deal. Gundy Gunderson, do we have Gundy today?
Yeah.
Our surf report. Like, yeah. We'll talk about it too.
Absolutely.
But there are times where the surf, and Bill can say it, the surf grass can be a pain in the rear.
Absolutely.
But not drop shotting weedless.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Not a pain.
Their bait is weedless.
Yes, everything.
Yeah.
So does the same apply in the bay? I mean, using the same
You could, 100%.
Yeah. Or are you using a smaller sinker?
No, the you really want that 1 ounce. It seems heavy, but that 1 ounce and a torpedo sinker specific because it comes up and over things clean. Mm-hmm. Weedless.
Yeah.
And the 1 ounce because you have an anchor point to twitch and work your bait without moving the sinker. That's the whole technique.
Okay.
Yes. That's, hey, do you use that, Bill?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is he letting,
and of course, that's a freshwater technique too. No, this is his secret that he taught me that I employ.
and honest to God, Pete, 18 to 20 years ago.
That's right.
Seriously.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that long ago. But it's come full circle. It's a fishy technique.
It is. You know, those white flukes and stuff like that, it's like the paisley tie of fishing equipment. It was like popular 40 years ago. The paisley tie is coming back. So. You never know. That everything goes in a circle. I think the only thing that stayed around forever has got to be the cedar plug.
Yeah, right.
Other things have made circles.
Yeah. The one thing I want to mention before we move on is I did have some of those drop shot baits. I had a handful of colors left over from yesterday that I will be taking. Dana Landing already has some. Seaforth and then for sure Fisherman's Landing will have some. By Monday. How about that?
The drop shot thing.
By tomorrow, yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. So if you're listening, you're curious, you just want to lay your eye on one.
They have the hooks, both Dana Landing and Fisher.
For sure.
They have
the
proper hooks and stuff, and those guys will dial you in.
Yeah. But how cool was yesterday, Bill, getting to connect with people?
Oh, it's great. It's so great to see people, and you know, there were so many great vendors down there. Busy day. It was a beautiful day, too. Yeah. What a beautiful day yesterday. It was cool in the morning. The sun came out, and so many great people down there, and so many great vendors down there. It was so good to see the CalStar folks and some of their pull on some of their new rods and so forth. So it was really a great time for everybody. And we had a really good turnout for the surf fishing on the back of the Tomahawk. I really want to thank David again for letting me use his boat and getting some goop on it.
You had a bunch of people there.
Yeah, we had probably 25 to 40 people. I didn't count them, but lots of great people. And it was so neat because we could fill up all the bait wells and then put all of our individuals. You know, we had sand crabs floating in one of them. We had ghost shrimp. We had lugworms, bloodworms, mussel, all these different things. So we showed how each one of those are hooked, how they're prepared, how to fish them at the beach. And people were taking notes, videos, and just having a great time. It's so great getting the information out there. And I get so stoked because I tell them, like, you know, go out there, use this stuff. And then when you go down to the beach, send me fish reports.
Right.
So things have changed so much nowadays. I not only get, you know, emails or text or whatever, but people will FaceTime me, quote unquote, from their phone on the beach and say, hey, I'm at Newport. Here's what the water looks like. Should I fish to the left or the right? I mean, it's incredible. And I might be at the time sitting in Colorado in the middle of the mountains in the middle of a snowstorm.
Yeah.
And I'm looking right at the water, telling them where to fish, and I see them catch a fish. It's an amazing time that we live in.
And I think the whole surf fishing, we call it maybe a shore pound culture.
Yeah.
It could be the, you know, 11, 12-year-old Groms. It could be
exactly.
It could be the 50-year-old Grom like myself out there.
Right, or it could be
time.
The 80-year-old. Yeah. I have a lot of folks that are elderly who've surf fished.
And so what were some of the key points that you taught yesterday?
Well, you know, some of the key points would be, first of all, how to properly hook the bait. So, for example, with a ghost shrimp, most people say I don't like fishing with ghost shrimp because when I go to cast it, like half of it lands on top of my head and the other half is over here on the shore. So when you learn how to correctly, properly, what hooks to use, like a kale hook or a long shank worm hook to hook it with, it allows you to go through the body of it and then exit between its legs, the carapace of its body, which is the hardest part, so you can give it a nice, good cast. Worms, for example, most people think of worms as if I'm fishing for a trout somewhere. I'm going to snip off a third of my worm and put it on my hook and throw it out there. We would never do that in the surf. If I was to take a bloodworm and cut it in half and put it on a hook and throw it out, all the goodness inside of it would wash out in a second flat because there's a current in the ocean. We don't have a current in the lake, so we don't really have to worry about it getting washed around and everything coming out. So we hook the entire worm, and in order to do that, we put the hook, a long shank hook, down its mouth, basically, feed it all the way up the hook, and then up onto our line where we only have maybe 1 inch below the hook on a 6-inch worm, and we can catch 3 or 4 fish on the same worm.
And so that's on a lugworm?
And that would be on a lugworm or a bloodworm.
Where does a lugworm come from?
Lugworms were originally from Korea,
huh.
And then the secret of how to grow them was stolen by the Chinese. Might have been the other way around.
Yeah, but, yeah.
And so now they're produced in China, and they grow them in these huge, like, maybe I've seen their facility. They sent me a video. It's probably half the size of the basin here.
Wow.
Gigantic. And they're these giant ponds, and they have a netting system that goes in the pond. They're grown on those nets, and then they bring the nets up to the surface, and that's how they harvest them. And then every Thursday, they fly them into the United States from China. They land here at LAX. They go through immigration, ICE, and all that stuff, and they make themselves to their way to the tackle shops.
And so they're being grown in China solely for bait?
Yes, solely for bait.
Really? That's interesting.
How crazy. And so
I mean, there's enough of a market for it
In Southern California alone, they sell 1,200 cups of them a week.
Wow.
So when you take their whole gamut of places that they sell them at, and really it's just a growing thing now.
And they're sold live. I mean, you're buying them live.
Yes, they're sold live. And they're really hardy. They last for about 2 to 3 weeks in refrigeration. And they're normally in kind of like a sawdust that they put them in. They used to put them in paper, but it wasn't working. So kind of a sawdust system that they use in these little packages. And you just need to refrigerate them. So what's so great about them is you get like a dozen for maybe $9 or so. And you go down to the beach and you use 4 or 5 of them, let's say, for fishing. You have another half dozen left over. You just bring them home and put them in the refrigerator. And next weekend they're ready to go.
You use the whole worm?
You use the entire worm.
Wow.
And the worms are maybe 4 to 6 inches long, I would say.
And I've seen them before. They look like, and I've never touched one. I've never used one for bait, but are they as durable as a clam? I mean, they almost look like...
They're pretty durable.
Yeah.
Like a bloodworm is really durable. Bloodworm's...
What's the difference between a lugworm and a bloodworm?
So a lugworm is very similar to a sandworm that you would find at the beach here, which is... not as strong in the sense of durable, whereas the bloodworm is a very durable worm.
Okay.
Its skin on the outside is almost like the outside skin of a sausage.
Oh.
You know how the sausage skin is hard and then softer inside? And so they're really good bait from the standpoint of they're very, very durable. You can cast them really hard. You can catch several fish on them before they're...
And where do bloodworms come from?
And bloodworms normally come, most of them come from the East Coast, so up by in the New England area.
Ah.
So if everybody remembers back the movie The Perfect Storm, so when that storm, which oddly enough, I was in Cancun when that storm came through, and we were in the basement for two days of the hotel. When that storm made its way up the East Coast, it wiped out all of these estuaries. So what will happen is they'll go dig in these estuaries, and they'll basically be an innkeeper worm at the top of their hole, and then below that will be all the bloodworms. And so they'll go out into the mud, and they'll dig, and they'll find the innkeeper, which is really the holder of the hole, take it out, and then get them from in there. Well, when that storm came through, it killed so many of them that they had very few to take out and send, and the price went from like $7 a dozen to $35
wow,
a dozen.
Crazy.
And that was when the lugworms came around.
I've actually seen that on like Mike Rowe's show.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, right. And so they actually go with like pitchforks and turn over the mud in a slough.
And solely for bait.
Just for bait.
But
it's
really big on the East Coast.
It's really big, yeah.
Yeah.
And
fish
like,
and stripers and things like that.
They have a whole community of individuals like us that would go out and harvest and sell them to... It's just like a commercial fishery. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And it really is a dirty job. I saw that, and man, they are covered with mud.
So, in Bill Varney's eyes, what's better? Ghost shrimp, lugworm,
or a bloodworm.
Or a bloodworm.
If I was on a deserted island and they sent me out there with one bait, it would be the bloodworm.
Oh, bloodworm.
The bloodworm, without question, will catch every fish in the halibut to perch and everything in between it. Its durability. I mean, there's nothing better than a big, juicy bloodworm. There's just nothing better than it. So ghost shrimp, close second for sure.
Yeah.
for sure, and especially certain times of year, they're much more, they work much better. Like, yeah. like a bloodworm is going to work all year equally for you, whereas like a ghost shrimp, you're looking at August, September, October works really its very best this time of year right now.
Wow. Well, as you can hear, we have a great show lined up for today. A lot to talk about here with Mr. Bill Varney, surf fishing, and Corey Sandin, who's a surf fishing nut too.
Well,
I mean, he's really into it.
I just enjoy the passion.
Yeah,
I enjoy fishing, man. Come
absolutely
on.
Give me some water.
I mean, yeah, perfect. Yeah,
right. And sure, ghost shrimp fishing or drop shot, whatever it is, man, we'll have fun. You want to join us today, you can do so. We're going to be on 97.3 The Fan for the full 2 hours. You want to join us, you can do so. Kyle is waiting for your call at 833-288-0973, or you can send us a text via the app. You got a surf fishing comment, question, or something for Bill? Most certainly do so via the app. Make sure you do leave your name and telephone number, because at the end of the show, we're going to flip a coin. Actually, we're not flipping a coin today.
We don't need to flip a coin today. We're going to give away two calendars today, one to a caller and one to a texter.
Oh, perfect.
Directly to their doorstep.
The new Bill Varney 2026 calendar. Here it is right here.
2026.
You're looking at us on Facebook or YouTube.
Yeah. And in conjunction...
This is what, what it's
okay. We're gonna we're gonna give away a calendar.
That's great.
To each texter,
hot off the press.
To one texter and one caller.
Just pick these up.
I literally just picked those up.
We get a new 2026 Bill Varney, a caller and a texter.
I think we're still drawing.
There it is, exactly. We're fresh off the press, and when we do come back, give us a call 833-288-0973. And when we come back, we're going to be talking more surf fishing with Bill Varney, the man. He actually wrote the book, believe it or not.
Yep.
When we come back on YouTube, Facebook Live, and 97.3 The Fan.
Everything about Katmai Lodge is first rate, and it should be on the bucket list of everyone who enjoys fishing. This is Brandon Bono. My visit to Katmai Lodge is an experience I will never forget. Constructed on the banks of the Alagnac River in Katmai National Park, the lodge is a fishing dream come true. The experience is incomparable. Whether bait casting, spin, or fly fishing, you'll find king, sockeye, chum, coho, and pink salmon, plus trout, grayling, char, and Dolly Varden. Their guides are amazing. Days are exciting and fun with hot lunches and snacks served on the river. The brown bears, bald eagles, beaver, otters, and other wildlife you see is amazing. The lodge staff is great. There's complimentary wine, beer, and appetizers before a fantastic dinner every evening. Take it from me, a trip to Katmai Lodge should be on your list. For information, visit katmai.com or call 1-800-330-0326. Once again, that's Katmai Lodge, KATMAI.com.
Power your boat with Norsk Lithium. The ultimate choice for marine adventures. Our batteries deliver unmatched starting, trolling, and electronics power. Packed with cutting-edge technology like deep sleep to eliminate phantom draw. Built with rugged BCI-compliant cases, they're designed to handle the toughest conditions on the water. Stay in control with the Norsk Guardian app. Monitor performance, track battery health, and unlock advanced features right from your phone. Charge with confidence using EvoTech onboard and DC-to-DC chargers for fast, efficient, and hassle-free power management. Designed for maximum compatibility, these chargers keep your entire system running at peak performance, so you're always ready for the next trip. With a 10-plus-2-year non-prorated warranty, you can trust your batteries to perform for years to come. Our industry-leading warranty ensures you get the most out of your investment. With dedicated customer support if you ever need it, upgrade your marine power today. Set up your custom system at NorskLithium.com or visit Trolling Motor Doctor in Lakewood. Norsk Lithium. No matter where the adventure takes you, we've got you powered.
For local or long-range fishing, we have you covered. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. Being a part of the San Diego Sport Fishing Landing gives us a distinct advantage when it comes to getting you on the latest and hottest tackle for your trip. Our expert staff knows exactly what you need for your long-range or local trip, and we will not sell you something you don't need. We carry a huge inventory of the right tackle. So visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Anyone that's been to the East Cape knows Smokey's Curing Company Cantina, the best food and drink in Los Barriles, and a fun place to hang out and watch your favorite sporting event. If you're lucky, you probably had Smokey's process your fish to take home. Their quality and service is top-notch. You'll see me at Smokey's Cantina hanging out with the owner, Chris, and my buddies when fishing in the East Cape. And we always send our fish to be processed at Smokey's too. Now Chris has added one of the finest boats in the East Cape available for you to charter for a day or more of fishing. Vaquero. Sierra. It's an immaculate 35 Cabo with a Sea Keeper and Captain Diego Romero, one of Baja's best. If you're looking for a great charter boat when fishing at Palmas, Playa, or other resorts, Vaquera, booked at BajaSmokies.com, should be your choice. So, when you're headed to the East Cape, be sure to stop by Smokies Curing Company Cantina. Send your fish to be processed there and fish aboard the 35 Cabo Vaquera. Check BajaSmokies.com for more details.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. And super fun show here, talking surf fishing and talking baits. I mean, Corey's here to talk about kitchen halibut. And it doesn't even matter if it's a surf. We talk about whatever you want to talk about, fishing. But Bill Varney, the surf fishing expert, is here. Super fun.
She's having a lot of fun, actually.
And the new calendar. We were just talking about the calendar, this beautiful new 2026 Bill Varney calendar that's now – when's it going to be in tackle stores?
It's going to be in tackle stores this week. It's going into all the stores in Santa Barbara to the Mexican border.
All right. It is November 2nd, so it's time to start looking for your calendar.
Absolutely.
But I just turned the page on my 2025 calendar – and if you have that calendar, you see this Wahoo, beautiful picture of Wahoo, and notice there's no gaff.
There's no
gaff. Tell us a story on that one. It's a crazy story.
This is a flying Wahoo. So this is the November picture is a picture, a long-range picture of a, that's probably about a 50-pound Wahoo, I would say.
Oh, at least.
At least, coming over the rail. And it wasn't coming over the rail because the angler was bouncing it. It wasn't coming over the rail because there was a gaff in it. It was coming over the rail on its own on the way to getting the angler. And he jumps out of the way at the last second trying to reel up his slack. And on the boat, this huge fish comes.
And you can see the popper hanging out of its face.
You can see the popper hanging out.
Crazy. That's a crazy story. But, yeah, when you pointed it out, it's like, oh, yeah, there's no gaff, no gaff hole. So somebody went over there with a club and probably hit the thing pretty
absolutely.
Hard,
absolutely.
Right? Because it's a flying Wahoo. It's flying teeth, right?
That's
gnarly.
Right. And I've got to imagine the photographer also jumped out of the way at the last second.
I mean, what an amazing picture. How did he get that picture?
That is an amazing picture. And, of course, he had his aperture and everything right at the right time to get the right lighting and to get it to stop. I didn't stop on the rail. It continued to make his way to the deck from there.
Picture?
I'm not sure. I'd have to look at the caption on it, but
how do you get all these pictures? I mean, like the new calendar, the 2026 calendar has some great photos in it.
We are so blessed. You know, some of the greatest photographers in fishing have been giving us their photography and photos for years. Jim Hendricks, Bill Boyce,
Wes.
Wes, of course.
Yes.
Who's Wes Braw, who's got fantastic.
Such a cool guy.
Oh,
that's
my gosh.
This photo on the cover is Wes.
Is Wes on the cover.
And that's
that big yellowtail
down.
Right on the beach
in Cabo?
About 17 miles north of Cabo on the Pacific Coast side.
Wow.
So Wes fishes with about a 12-foot rod, a 6,000-size spinning reel, something like maybe a 5-ounce Ranger jig with 60 to 150-pound braid, and that's what he's fishing off the beach with. And the reason is he's catching 40-pound, 50-pound yellowtail, 100-plus-pound grouper from the beach, caught a lemon shark that was like 500 pounds. I mean, it's amazing. He has caught just about everything from the beach but a marlin.
Isn't that crazy?
Dorado, you name it. It really is crazy.
And on top of that, Bill, he is the most kind soul of an individual that you will ever meet in your life.
He is a wonderful person. His mom and dad are missionaries from Christian missionaries who came from the United States to preach the Lord down in Mexico, in Cabo. And so he was born, I'm not sure if he's born in the U.S. or down there, but he grew up down there and part of the culture. And then he went to college, I think in Hawaii, where he met his lovely wife. And then lives down there now. And he's been surf fishing since he was a little kid. The very first time I met him, he carried a 50-pound rooster fish into Minerva's to ask him what it was.
Isn't that crazy?
That's
we have a lot of questions, a lot of phones coming up. You want to get through, have a chance to win one of these calendars, 833-288-0973. Kyle standing by at the fan. Or you can text us via the Let's Talk Hookup app, only on the Let's Talk Hookup app. But the first question I have is from the one and only Mark Wish.
Okay.
And he wants to know, about freeze-dried lugworms.
Yes, that's a great question, Mark. Thank you for asking me. It's great to hear from you. So the lugworms, which were live lugworms and have been around now for probably about 8 years or so, maybe 10 years at the longest in stores and become popular. About 10 years ago when they first came out, another company tried to dry them. I'm not sure what their process was, and they sent some over to us to test, and they didn't work at all. They were really brittle, and they just fell apart. Well, since then, the company who actually produces the lugworms has a technique that they use for freeze-drying them that's produced this new product. We're going to be distributing it to stores beginning this week of these dried lugworms that not only work incredibly well. I took them down to Cedros. Well, I had fished the beach with them, and they worked well. I took them down to Cedros, walked down the steps below Rosie's place, cast out, had a fish in 2 seconds. I think
wow.
I had 6 fish on the same bait. So they're dry. They're very light. They're not in any juice of any kind. They're basically archival. They'll last forever, so you can use 2 or 3 of them and put the package back in your pocket and take it home and leave it in your car and not worry about it and go fishing the next week. So
wow.
They're really great baits. They're freeze-dried lugworms, and it's a new product on the market.
Yeah. And you can buy them at tackle stores like Pacific Edge.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
what's better, freeze-dried or live?
You know, I don't really know. I've used both. I would consider that live would probably be better, but that's such good luck on the dry ones.
Crazy.
And what's interesting is you can break off like 2 inches of one, a half or a third of one, and put it on the hook as dry, and then cast it out. And within literally 1 or 2 seconds of hitting the water, it rehydrates. And it's very, very strong, and the hook doesn't come apart.
Interesting.
And like I said, you can catch several fish on the same.
So you kind of glossed over it. I want to know what you were catching at Cedros on the beach.
Oh, it was crazy. I got a sheep's head.
From the beach.
Sheep's head, sand bass, calico bass, 3 or 4 different colors and types of wrasse.
Really?
And then the guy I was fishing with, who wasn't just sitting on the rocks because he was using a lure and not getting bites after 20 minutes or something, after watching me for about 5 minutes, he had just about enough of it and told me it's time to go. We got to go up and have a beer.
Yeah.
He didn't want to watch me anymore catching fish.
Yeah, that's funny. That's cool. That's awesome. Well, let's jump into the phones. They're packing up. Let's jump back into it, Corey.
Let's do it. And welcoming to Let's Talk Pickup, Chuck Cohn from Long Beach. Good morning.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey. Good morning, guys. Hope everything's going well.
Absolutely.
I should have gone to Bill's seminar yesterday, and I probably wouldn't have spent so much money at Tackle Day if I was sitting and listening for an hour in the store. But so, question about, so what do you do differently with your presentation when you're, say, fishing a live bait versus, like, fishing, like, a gulp sandworm or something like that? Are you letting stuff sit more? Are you moving more? Are you fan casting more? What's the technique you're using for each one?
You know, really the only difference between something like a Berkeley Gulp or a Grub or something like, or Castmaster or a Lucky Craft or any of those, I'm going to be casting those a lot harder than I would a live bait. You know, 90% of the fish are within 50 feet of the dry sand there, so they're very close. There's no reason that you need to particularly cast over them, and that's why, like, if I'm using a lure, I'm going to be using a fan casting motion, so I'm not going as much straight out as I'm going at an angle like 10 o'clock or 2 o'clock and covering more surface area. But when I'm using a gulp or a grub or a live bait or a fresh dead bait, I'm using exactly the same technique. I'm always casting out, and I'm slowly retrieving toward shore. Because the thing about surf fishing is that slack in your line is your enemy. Because you're not over the fish and you're directly connected to your hook, by the time you feel a bite, several seconds have gone by. And surf fish, most of them, inhale their food, crush it in their throat, spit the pieces out, and eat the individual pieces. So if you wait till you get 2 or 3 pulls on your line, like you would trout fishing, say, hey, I got a bait out there, I'm going to let it get down its throat a little bit, and then I'm going to set the hook on my trout. If you do that in surf fishing, they have already crushed the bait and spit it out. The piece with your hook in it, a piece of metal in it, they're eating around it. They've eaten all the pieces around it. So you want to always cast out, and I use a fan casting motion, 10, cast twice that way, 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock twice that way, 2 o'clock that way, and slowly retrieve to shore so you're always tight to your sinker.
Very moving the bait.
Always slowly moving the bait. Yeah. Slower in the winter, a little bit quicker in the summer.
Okay. Such good info. Tip.
Yeah. You have a great text.
I do. There's so many coming through.
A lot of good texts.
I know. Everybody wants to know. And this one comes from Rory in Lakeside. Good morning, guys. So happy we're talking about surf fishing this morning. I have a boat and do love coastal fishing, but I have to say there is something about surf fishing that is very relaxing. I feel like you're connecting with the ocean in a different way. Bill, fishing from now until spring, what are you targeting and what approach do you take in the colder winter months? And thanks again, Rory.
That's a great question. Yeah. Thank you, Rory. Yes, surf fishing, of course, is good all year long. There's no question. One thing about surf fishing is that there are times during the year where there's transitional phases in surf fishing. So in beginning in May and let's say all the way through the month of July, surf fish are concentrating on sand crabs. And then those sand crabs, they begin to lose their eggs in the sense that they're not spawning any longer. And then eventually, as the water gets cooler in late September, early October, they go into hibernation and disappear here in California. So when we, and Gundy talks about this a lot, when we get to August and September, even October, that's when you're looking at, hey, I'm using clams, mussels, ghost shrimp, other exotic baits that you might not concentrate on, let's say in May, when there's billions of sand crabs with eggs along the beach. So when the winter comes, you know, some of the best fishing and surf fishing is in the winter, especially if you enjoy perch fishing, whether it's calico surf perch, barred surf perch, walleye surf perch. That's when they spawn, and that's when the biggest ones come out to feed. So that's what we kind of concentrate in the winter. But that doesn't mean that you can't catch a corbina in the winter or spotfin croaker, which we catch a lot through the winter, especially in these years where we have Santa Ana conditions over and over again. It's very good spotfin years. So that's what's fishing in the winter, and there's lots of surf fish still right now all the way through spring.
So Jim Murray from Thousand Palms has a similar question, but he says, what's Bill Varney's best month to go surf fishing?
Oh, my gosh. Here in California, there's so many places to go now.
Well, you're not going to do it where you live in Breckenridge.
That's right.
You surf in Breckenridge.
It's a long cast from there. Yeah, I just have to fight off those 10-pound brown trout, my 20-pound rainbows.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a lot of work.
Right?
So, what is my favorite month, would it be? Well, you know, I like May is a really exciting month because we're coming out of the winter when corbina fishing, which is, you know, one of the great targets in the surf, that's when they get very, very active. When the water in California, Southern California below Santa Barbara to about Cedros Island zone gets 60 degrees, that's when the sand crabs come back to the surface. And when it gets 64 degrees is when they begin to lose their shells. So that happens in May, and when that happens in great numbers, the corbina, who have spent the winter in bays, harbors, estuaries, they go back into shallower water in the summer, in the winter, because the water warms up quicker there. There's food there for them, and they can spawn. They come out in May along the beaches and spread on the beaches, and that's probably one of my favorite months. But
May.
But to be honest with you, every single month of the year has its own gifts at the
beach. There really isn't a bad time. I mean, the only bad time would be the winter months, January, February, with a 10-foot swell. I mean,
The only time I really there's issues is maybe around March, middle of March through April, where it gets windy. You know, remember as a kid, we used to I don't know about you guys, but I always was flying kites in March and April because it was windy that time of year. And that's really the only time at the beach where there's some issues. Otherwise, just like you said, Corey, I mean, you know, the next month is halibut, and the month after that, you know, because the grunting are coming in, and then the month after that's corbina, and then the spot for
there's always something.
There's always something coming around.
That's cool. Well, let's jump back in the phones, Corey.
Let's do that. Pete, how about Hills? Hills come from Ventura, and he might be
in the surf.
He might
that's
be.
Right.
Yeah. Good morning, Hills.
Hey, good morning, guys. Bill is so great. I don't anybody hesitate to send him photos. I've sent him photos, and he's responsive. I think his email is fishthesurf@mail.com.
Perfect.
Yeah, he's got it.
And he and I have chatted back and forth on these emails, and I've been to some seminars with him. In fact, with Wes, that was a couple years ago at the last Bart Hall show, and that was a great seminar. But Bill is so cool, and obviously the calendar is great, but I think he would appreciate photos from everybody because it's just fascinating to see what people are getting. And I've been lucky. I've gotten some nice fish, and then I try to show Bill, you know, because he's the one who who would care, you know? Like, everybody else is like, okay.
Hey, Hills, know, how's the I want to ask you, Hills, how the striper bite is. Are you still getting stripers, or what's the?
No, I haven't late. I haven't recently, and it's been looking so good in Ventura. I can't believe I haven't got one. The last thing I got was a big halibut, and they're rebuilding the point in Ventura, the surfer's point, you know, from erosion, and they had put all these nice cobbles, and I was trying to drag this halibut up the cobbles because I couldn't go, I couldn't walk down, and I would have tumbled and died. So trying to drag this 30-inch halibut up these cobblestones, and my rod, a nice rod, broke in half.
I
was like, I don't care. I got a halibut.
Crazy. Well, appreciate the story.
Thanks
for sure, Hills.
Thank you.
Thank you so much,
and
Hills.
When we come back, we're going to have more of this discussion. Good times. I want to hear more about the striper stuff because it's something that is happening.
Absolutely.
And the last 10 years has been incredible, and it's getting even better. And we're going to be right back on the Let's Talk a Cup app, YouTube, Facebook Live, and 97.3 The Fan.
One rod has set the standard for serious saltwater anglers worldwide, and that's CalStar. From the rugged dependability of the West Coast series, the lightweight strength of the Graphiter, or the performance of the GG series, all CalStar rods are handmade right here in Southern California of the finest materials and craftsmanship. Check out the new CalStar models now available, as well as upgrades to the classic rods that you know and love. If you want your tackle to be state-of-the-art tools to get the job done right, it's CalStar at fine tackle dealers.
The state-of-the-art long-range sport fishing vessel, the Independence, delivers the top quality, comfort, and fishability you look for in a long-range boat. Veteran captains Mark Pisano and Paul Strasser built this incredible 112-foot vessel with the most modern technology and luxurious comfort available. Once you go on the Independence, you'll be back. Call Independence Sports Fishing at 619-226-6006 or check independentsportfishing.com.
Fillet knives shouldn't be disposable. Introducing AFCO fillet knives that are built to last. Designed in collaboration with Boker Germany, AFCO knives feature 4116 German stainless steel bonded with titanium nitride to ensure optimum corrosion resistance and exceptional edge retention. A non-slip TPR handle maintains a firm grip when processing game fish. Fillet knives from AFCO. Any fish, any water.
The fish are biting and it's time to go. Hi, this is Ben, and you will see me at my dad's shop, Dana Landing in Mission Bay, or maybe in front of the shop on my kayak. It doesn't matter if you are out there on a kayak with me, on your boat, headed out on a sport boat. Dana Landing has everything you need. We call it the one-stop shop for a great day on the water, because it truly is. Food, bait, tackle, beverages, and more. Our tackle shop, headed by John, is certainly one of the best. For freshwater tackle, nothing beats East County Bait and Tackle. These guys have the best rods and reels and the hottest lures and live bait. Our newest shop is Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle with a great stock of both fresh and saltwater tackle right in the heart of Lemon Grove. ECBT is at the end of the 67 freeway on Maple View and Lakeside. Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, 94 to Broadway in Lemon Grove, and Dana Landing is next to the Dana Launch Ramp in Mission Bay. Check out Dana Landing.com for more details.
The reels that Southern California anglers have been waiting for are here. Shimano is proud to introduce the all-new Talica 40A and 50A reels. The Talica series is Shimano's flagship two-speed lever drag reel. It sits at the very pinnacle of the offshore world. Shimano has increased the fishability of the larger Talica models by reducing rotational resistance at high drag and improving durability in critical positions within the reel. The all-new Talica 40A and 50A now boasts Infinity Drive, which employs two drag washers housed on the side of the reel, allowing for an ultra-smooth, powerful drag system, while at the same time increasing winding power under a load by as much as 40%. The new Talica is built around a more compact, cold-forged machine aluminum one-piece frame. Plus, there's also a new higher high gear built with a Southern California angler in mind. The new Talica 40 and 50A are available now at your local Shimano dealer.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. And Pete, I'm having so much fun in studio.
Yeah,
today
it's great to have you here.
Talking good times.
It's a perfect timing for you and Bill to
be
together.
Yeah.
And hardcore surf fishing anglers and good listening and a lot of good stuff. But,
yeah.
Time for the catch report right now.
It is, and it's brought to us by Gamakatsu. And if you like to fish for tuna and you're not using Gamakatsu hooks, you're missing the bites. Their 720 heavy-duty assist hook is the one for your nighttime jigging and for bait fishing. Nothing beats the Nautilus circle hook. They come in sizes as small as a number 4, and they go all the way up to a 6-aught. And for the big fish, Nautilus HD is tough enough but not oversized. You can see your local dealer or check them out at Gamakatsu.com.
And Bill, you're a Gamakatsu pro staff. What yes. Gamakatsu hooks do you use for the surf?
I use the 50409 split, so that would be the size 1. So I use size 1, 2, and 4. I can't remember the other numbers, but they're sequential, I think.
50409
split shot drop shot hook.
Split shot drop shot hook.
Exactly. And then they also make a worm hook, which is probably the best worm hook made. It's
really?
Very thin wire and sharp. And one thing about their worm hooks is that it has a straight shank. So in surf fishing, you never want an offset hook. So a hook where, like, you have a plier.
But explain why.
Yeah, and here's why. So if you took a pair of pliers and put on the eye and one on the bait, the shank of the hook, and you turn them in opposite directions, that makes it offset. The tip is offset from the eye. If you were to put a bait, string a bait on that hook and throw it out in the surf, as you slowly retrieve it back to shore, it's going to be spinning in a circle. And what will happen is big fish in the surf got big by being smart. They didn't get big by being dumb and just ate anything that came by them. So when that thing comes by them spinning in a circle and those big ones are looking at it, they look at each other and they say, oh, my gosh, that's how Bob got it.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, hey, Brian Woolley, Dana Ward Sport Fishing. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, guys. That's funny.
Right?
Yeah, good stuff, man. Gosh, how about that weather this week?
Yeah. And it continues, right?
Yeah, it's going to keep rolling through. A little swell, but, man, I can't imagine. We were in 40 feet of water in some spots this week, and you could see the bottom.
Wow.
Crazy. Like, gin clear. Yeah,
beautiful.
Amazing. So, good weather, half day for both, you know, half day and three-quarter day stuff. The half day anglers fish that nice water, 65 to 66 degrees. Like, it had some temp, too, with that sun on it. So, there were some good conditions, a little bit of uphill current one day, pushing down the coast another day, but the hard bottom zones produce some nice sand bass and sheephead for the guys on, like, the Carolina rigs or the reverse dropper loops. Anglerslip brought some shrimp with them, did pretty good on that sheephead as well. You know, just think, those lobster guys are emptying those bait jars near those traps, you know, all day long, and that's those small little chunks of whatever's left in those jars filtering down, and that's what gets that sheephead fired up. So those small little chunks of something similar to what's coming out of those you know, traps or whatnot is really good for that sheephead. And then some fun calico bass fishing on the live anchovy and the rubber lures. You know, we had the boat up near some boiler rocks up near the closure there in Laguna a few days this week. And just some good, fun fall fishing with really nice conditions. And then out in the rockfish sectors, the three-quarter day fishing has continued to be really good. We're fishing anywhere from like 550 feet to 800 feet on the 14-mile bank there. And dropper loop live baits. We had nice anchovy, like I said. So double dropper loop baits did really well on the Bankies, the Chilies, some Picaccio. And those jig anglers, again, they just mopped up the cod this week. Some epic conditions. Guys fished as light as 250 grams up to 350, and it fished really well. You guys were at that spot there with talking about the assist hooks. The guys fishing the assist hooks with, like, that little bit of flash on it. You know, it has some of that shrimp fly look to it. Those were the hooks that were the standout hooks for the guys fishing the jigs, for whatever that's worth. And then the reds, the pinks, and the blues were the colors that got bit well on the bank. There's been some squid on the 14, so anything that kind of resembled a, you know, a fired-up squid or whatever the fish could see there in that midwater were the colors that were getting bit. And then off the beach a bit at Clemente or on the banks there, the Furies been on top of that smaller gray bluefin this week on some of their two-day trips. I talked to Marcus yesterday. They had really good fishing on day one of their two-day trip yesterday. It's that smaller stuff, 8, 10, 20-pound stuff, relatively easy for them on the fly line baits, and then a few yellows on the bank there as well. That fish was kind of in the 12 to 25-pound range. And then at the island, at Clemente, you know, the island's covered in squid right now. So the yellowtail fishing there has slowed up a little bit just because of, you know, tons of natural bait there. But still some nice 25-plus-pound fish being caught in the mornings on the bait, a few on the iron, the yo-yo jig, and then the bass fishing, the kelp has been really good too with that. And then kind of the end of the day topper with these good conditions, they tapped into some of that rockfish over there as well, and were able to, you know, top things off and just have a nice, really solid mixed fall bag of fish there for their guys. So, solid week. We're looking forward to another good one as we push through this coming week. So, if you guys want to hop on a trip, make a reservation. There were days this week where we were on the edge and we had to cancel because you know, we just didn't have enough. And it's, you know, when you're out there in 600-700 feet of water, light loads the way to go. So make the reservation, 949-496-5794. Of course, you can hit us on the web as well at danawharf.com.
Wow, fantastic report. Sounds like good fishing. And you'll be here next Sunday in the studio in the world headquarters here talking all that good fishing at Dana Wharf Sport Fishing, right?
Yeah, looking forward to it. That'll be a good time.
Yeah, always great to have you. Captain Brian Woolley, Dana Wharf Sport Fishing, and we'll see you right here in the studio next Sunday.
Bright and early. All right, guys. Thanks for the time. Have a great
rest
of the
show. Appreciate that very much. You know, while we're waiting for Surf Guru Gundy Gunnarsson, we got to talk about a great place to go eat. And if you're getting hungry, Charlie's Landing, right there next to C4 Sport Fishing, adjoining C4. It's a part of C4 Sport
Fishing. It is, under the same roof.
It's right there, yeah. You heard one of our callers talking yesterday about how much he loves the fish and chips there. But the fish tacos there are also outstanding. Mm. But the Smash Burger, there's so many different items there that are fantastic.
Pete, to hang out and just overlook the boardwalk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And such a friendly time of the year to do it. There's parking available.
Yep.
And it's just more friendly.
Yeah.
And if you're going out on a trip, what do they have in store for you? It's $1 beer.
$1 beer. With your ticket, whether you're going whale watching, it's kind of getting the whale watch season, or whether you're going fishing, you show your ticket, you get a buck draft beer that they have there. And the other thing, they have great sandwiches. They have breakfast burritos. So breakfast, lunch, or dinner, great setting. Charlie's Landing is the spot right a part of C4 Sport Fishing in Mission Bay. Check it out.
Right across the breezeway from C4.
I promise, you go once,
you're hooked.
You're hooked. You go back, for sure.
And Brandt makes all those in-house pickles and slaw.
Oh, it sounds so
good.
Stuff,
right? It's like real handmade stuff.
Yes, please, and thank you.
Yeah. Hey, Mike Lum. First, I want to throw out a big thank you to Mike Lum and Tim Baker and all the crew that helped Captain Rollo's Kids at Sea, Friends of Rollo, yesterday, and raised a lot of money to take kids fishing. But Mike's driving home right now, and he wanted to know about waders, wetsuits, or shorts in the surf? It's a good question.
Well, you know, where Mike lives, he might need a wetsuit. It's a little bit colder up there around Vandenberg Air Force Base and so forth. You know, most anglers who fish in the surf do not fish with waders. There are some who fish with waders, especially if you're a hard bait fisherman. You're going to hike out in the water and have your waders on so you don't get too cold.
Just make sure you have a good wading belt on.
You have to have a good wading.
And if you get knocked into the surf, you're done.
You're toast, and it needs to be tight. It needs to be tightened, your belt.
You don't want to fill your waders full of water.
No. Because once your waders are full of water, you could be the best swimmer in the world. And if you're not on the bottom, you won't be able to get back up without getting them off. So not a lot of people use waders. Sometimes when we fished at night, we would use them to stay warm. I do know people, including myself, who've worn my wetsuit because I'll surf and then, tidal change or something, and I'll paddle in and go to my car and get my rod and then just stand in my wetsuit and fish it, which is very comfortable but gets awfully hot. So for me, it's always shorts or swim trunks. And, you know, if I'm Corbina fishing, which I'm going up and down the beach hunting for Corbina, they have incredible eyesight. They can see you standing on the shore. So often I'll wear trunks or shorts that are brown and then a blue shirt so I look like the sand
camo
in the sky. A camo look at the beach so I can get in front of them and get a shot at them. So I really like to stick that. And often, most times, I will not go in the water to fish. And Corey and I were talking about this a couple of minutes ago. 90% of all the fish are within 50 feet of the sand. So if you wade out 10 feet in the water, you're going to be hit by the fish in the back of your legs because they could be behind you.
Yeah, you never know.
That's true.
Yeah, well, Surf Guru Gundy Gunnarsson, we're going to start his report here. We'll probably have to interrupt you. Good morning, Gundy.
How's it going?
Oh, great. We're talking, sir, you're talking your language here today.
Not your typical fall, but we got better conditions this week. You know, the the weather was nice. We got a little bit offshore, so we got a little clean water. You know, we're in the mid-60s right now, so, you know, it's not over by any stretch, and there's still some warm water species. Still seeing the corvina, you know, still a little tough to bite, to get a bite. Perch fishing was the best bet. The halibut bite was a scratch. You know, there's still a few croaker around. Like I said, still seeing the corvina with few biters and some juvenile white sea bass showing up in the bays and the harbors up north off Goleta Pier. That bite's still going on with those sea bass. The best stretch, again, was up north. We'll start with hook, line, sinker. They reported some consistent catches off the cleaner western beaches, you know, spots like Gaviota, El Capitan, Refugio, Halama, that kind of thing, kicking out 6 to 12-inch barred perch. Bloodworms, mussels, probably the best bets. There's still some sand crabs around, but not with consistency, so I'd make sure I'd have a backup there. And then, like I said, that Goleta Pier, still fishy sea bass under the lights. That's a morning and an evening thing. Solid perch fishing in and around the pier there. Kind of scratch fishing for the halibut right now. Just Fishing reported good barred perch fishing in those South Bay beaches, Manhattan, Hermosa, Torrance Beach, 5 to 10-inch fish, grubs, gulp sandworms working. They're still seeing a few corvina there and a few guys getting bites on some exotic baits like ghost shrimps and things like that. Yellowfin croaker outside the surf line. Not real red-hot catches, but scratch fishing. Big fish reported. Best bet was a halibut bite off Shoreline Drive there. Sunset, Bolsa Chica. Hogan's reported scratch fishing for perch.
Hey, Gundy, we're going to continue the report here. Hang on 1 second. We're going to take a quick break.
And we're going to be right back. We're going to continue on with Gundy's report and more from Bill Varney when we return, not only on the Let's Talk Hookup app, YouTube, Facebook Live, but we're going to return on 97.3 The Fan.
Captain Benny Florentino, owner-operator of Coastal Charters. Just want to announce that I'll be running the Camus 26 hybrid boat from West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa. Hybrid being a center console with bay boat features. The boat features a Michael Peters stepped hull that'll give both myself and my guests a comfortable dry ride. West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa will be carrying the 26 hybrid, 28 hybrid, and also a 34 cat. Heck, they even have some great looking bass boats. But if you have any other questions, feel free to call Nick Kelly or Kyle Mesa at West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa, and we'll see you on the water.
Take it from Captain Benny Florentino. West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa is your source for Camus boats as well as Parker boats, Yamaha outboards, and now Mercury outboards. Sales and service, the finest you can find. Go see Nick and the guys at West Coast Marine on Newport Boulevard in Costa Mesa or check westcoastmarine.com.
3 kayaks, 6 surfboards, 10 rods, and 1 truck bound for Baja. That's where my brother and I's most recent quest into the Baja Peninsula began, in search of waves, fish, and fun. We are able to transport all the kayaks, rods, and boards without straps due to the easy transportation of the Hobie iTrack inflatable kayaks. We brought a tandem and 2 singles, the I-9 and 11, and they were totally enough to get all 6 of the boys onto some of the best halibut and grouper fishing of their lives. Now, you might be thinking, 3 kayaks? I thought a tandem and 2 singles would only be able to fit 4 people. Well, a simple lawn chair on the back of the kayak was enough to turn the 2 single kayaks into tandems. Catching upwards of 100 fish a day in the mangroves, ranging from 15-pound grouper to tons of legal halibut, we had our fill and headed back to the States. Check out the full video of this trip on our YouTube channel, Fastlane SC, or come by our shop in Mission Bay and check out a Hobie inflatable kayak. See you soon.
Hello, this is Captain Mike Totter from Search of Sport Fishing. Alongside my colleague, Chef Josh Evans, and our dedicated team, we invite you to join us aboard the Searcher. Our fishing trips range from a day and a half to 8 days, available May through November, and include charter options. We're committed to upholding a legacy of top-notch customer service, delicious food, and a friendly and talented crew. Book your fishing adventure online at searchofsportfishing.com or call Rachel at 609-226-2403. That's searchofsportfishing.com. forward to welcome you aboard.
For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day and full-day trips daily, perfect for families and the novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips, targeting the best of seasonal catches. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com where you can purchase tickets online and get more information on the trips available, or call 619-223-1627. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered.